P-minus 27. Stevenson Farm, Eastview, Colorado. Clark and Godfrey were equally stunned when their eyes fell upon the name of Poppy Bradshaw, the reckless agitator who had been something of an unofficial spokesperson for the planetary isolationist GeoSov movement, which once attempted to take President Slater hostage, having evolved from the earlier cult-like antidotalists and welcomers who sought to prevent Earth from defending itself against the oncoming comet Il Diavolo. Poppy hadn't been known to anyone in the group until she made herself so, stepping into the public arena in a manner that eventually led to Dan covertly using his temporarily granted uplift powers to intrude upon her thoughts and draw important conclusions during a meeting he had set up in Honduras for that very purpose. Evidently, however, given that her name was present in this years-old document, Poppy had been something of a mover or shaker in Richard Walker's eyes long before any of the others realized it. Reading on from the first mention of Poppy's name made it clear why she was there. Jack Neal, a core target of Walker's investigation, had made a fairly significant payment to her just hours after receiving an identical sum from Emporion-linked accounts. Further, Walker's notes, written next to the transactional details he had obtained by hook or by crook, explicitly stated that Poppy had, in turn, been funding British protest movements in the militant wing of Godfrey's opponents at the time when he had been serving as Prime Minister. Godfrey bitterly shook his head, recalling not only the personally embarrassing blood-drone incidents of that era, but also the more serious violence that had erupted at British nuclear sites, which was of a kind no one had seen in the past, and which he had deemed decidedly non-organic without having been able to say so publicly, without the risk of inevitably being branded as a conspiracy theorist unable to accept criticism. While the populist elements of the British media reported on even the worst incidents as being akin to harmless student protests, taking glee in doing so, since Godfrey had fallen out of favor in those days on the back of some ill-judged health reforms, experienced British politicians on both ends of the spectrum had quietly recognized that at least some of the protests had been astroturfed by shady financiers rather than having sprung from the real grassroots of any student movement. It was vindicating for Godfrey to have this confirmed, even if it was coming several years too late to be of much use.
So this means Slater doesn't know everything, Clark thought out loud. I mean, Poppy and the GeoSovs really were going to take her hostage until the messengers warned Dan and he intervened. She wouldn't knowingly be working with anyone who worked with them, would she? I get that politicians have to be pragmatic, but...
Yes, but not like that, Godfrey stated. Truthfully, I'm starting to think she hardly knows anything. A lot of people thought she was in on the IDA cover-up. You know, back when all people thought the hoax was a cover-up. But if you recall my position, stated with Cole at my side while Jack was at hers, if you can bear the irony of that trip down memory lane, I said that whether Slater knew or didn't, it wasn't a good look. She was either complicit or complacent. That was my line, and I'm sticking to it, Clark. She either knows who's bidding Geller is really doing, in which case she's complicit in nothing short of treachery as far as I'm concerned, or she's had the wool pulled over her eyes yet again.
Do you think Cole knows? Clark asked, listening intently to Godfrey's undeniably authoritative tone and flow.
With the Focus 2020 showdown against their enemies now a matter of hours away, he was more glad than ever to have the sharp-tongued and quick-witted ICA chairman on his side. Godfrey nodded.
Almost certainly. He's an idiot, too, but a different kind. As for Slater, though, I think her ignorance extends beyond this. I don't have a dog in the mud fight that is your domestic politics, but some of the deep state talk that comes up every now and again does have a basis in reality. I've never liked Slater, but the more important thing is that a lot of people embedded within the machinery of this country's power structures have never liked her either. She was an outsider, young, fresh, too progressive in certain ways and too measured in others. You see, your country's checks and balances are far more, Godfrey searched for the right word, substantial than ours, but part of that is that career bureaucrats keep things from your commander-in-chief in a way that just doesn't happen to Cole. Now, I'm an outsider, so you can take all of that with a shaker full of salt, but I haven't arrived at these opinions by chance.
Clark didn't argue, but he hadn't really thought too deeply about the kinds of things Godfrey was talking about. Again, however, the effortless way Godfrey could switch gears and deliver a minute-long argument as though he was reading it from a pre-prepared auto-cue made him an excellent ally to have going into a contentious and live debate-like panel. Sometime around 6 or 7 in the morning, when the sunlight became sufficiently bright to eliminate their ability to pretend it was still late rather than early, and that the big focus 2020 showdown was tomorrow night rather than later today, Clark walked to the back door for some fresh air. The morning was cool and fresh, and when he stepped fully outside, the view to the cornfield centered him in a way that only the natural world could. Even the fact that he had so recently discovered Phil's body in that very field couldn't defeat this feeling of easy perspective that only came when a blue sky was overhead and something green was on the ground. It was a good place to live, Clark considered, despite everything that had happened there. He could see why first Walker and then Phil, two men of considerable means at the respective times they had purchased the property, chose Stevenson Farm over anywhere else. As he considered all of this, he felt a sudden wave of realization regarding something Chip had said when he first learned of Phil's death. The will, Clark thought. He left this place to me. All okay? Godfrey asked, startling Clark from the doorway. I didn't think you were going all the way outside. Did you hear something? See something? Clark took a slow breath, savoring the fresh air, and shook his head as he turned to go back inside. Just taking a moment to smell the roses and gird the loins? Godfrey asked. Something like that, Clark replied, trying not to chuckle at Godfrey's way with words. But say, since it's today and you're going to get a rest at some point, plus with whatever other prep we need to do, I guess you're definitely not going to Argentina before we go to New York, right? Obviously, Leisha could cut the travel time to nothing, but even I can see it probably doesn't make sense to come out and give too much away so close to the panel. Correct, on all counts, the ICA chairman said as they walked back into the kitchen. I've just glanced at the SMMA app again, and the main emotion people are feeling is still concern for myself, and more so for Dan and Tara. The power vacuum is concerning the public too, but Cole and Slater are currently viewed less favorably than they were before I disappeared from that podium. They screwed up their one chance, Clark, as idiots like them are wont to do. This all sounded good to Clark, but the mention of the social media meta-analysis app raised a new question in his mind. He started the coffee machine on Phil's highly polished counter, then took a seat once more. Speaking of the app, and speaking of the news in general, how are people taking the Dortolutepe thing? What happened with Masut must have taken some attention away from the actual content, I'm guessing, but are people scared enough for it to be causing the kinds of problems we saw when the first plaques were revealed? Not even close, Godfrey said with a relieved sigh, turning his phone to Clark. The latter's expression and quick disinterest indicated that the charts and figures meant nothing to him, so Godfrey continued to explain vocally. Focus on that has faded almost unbelievably quickly, relative to what we were expecting yesterday, but in hindsight, we shouldn't be so surprised. It's impossible to know how much the public would have been dwelling on the carvings if there wasn't a whodunit story about Masut and the other guard dominating the agenda on every news network except one. No prizes for guessing which. But I don't think the carvings would have had a plaque-level impact even in a murderless vacuum. How come? Clark asked. Godfrey shrugged. Well, think about it. When the plaques first came out, those were the first alien things anyone had ever seen. Okay, they turned out to be fake in the end, but no one knew that then. Anyway,
Those were the first alien carvings we'd ever seen, and they seemed to warn of, or at least hint at, some future event. What we found at Dortolu Tepe are carvings of aliens, from the past, and we found them in an era when real aliens walk among us right now without causing fear in anyone but the most deranged, blitz-viewing lunatics. The content of Geller's leak wasn't as explosive as our concerned minds let us think, and the general world she released it into wasn't as ripe for fear-based carnage as last time. That's my take, at least, and I think when Emma sees this latest data, she'll very much agree.
Right on cue, but having been roused by Clark's louder-than-intended closing of the kitchen door transmitting through the activated intercom to the basement, Emma arrived from the hallway.
Anything? She asked.
Plenty, Godfrey said, while Clark nodded firmly in agreement.
I've firmly and definitely decided against going to Buenos Aires, as we more or less agreed last night, and if you want to spend a few hours now talking about the plan for tonight, then I'm all for it. I'll try to catch some beauty sleep after that, given how many people are going to be watching us.
Who are you thinking the us should be? Emma asked.
You, me, Dan? Tara is going to want to be there too, but someone has to stay with Piper. Clark, I guess you'll be with them.
Then the big decision is Leisha. If he's still up for being there, I'd like him to be in the studio but to stay cloaked the whole time so he can listen in on their thoughts and pass them to us. Our patches won't let us know what they're thinking unless Leisha is there as the intermediary. It's not like when Dan was uplifted and mentally eavesdropped on Cole and Poppy Bradshaw those times.
Godfrey raised his eyebrows at the mention of Poppy, knowing Emma would do the same whenever she sat down for a quick rundown of the details as to what the men had found.
I wanted to be on the panel too, Clark said. I wanted to look into Geller's eyes. You're right about Piper, though. If you and Dan are both there, which you have to be, I guess I have to stay behind. I'll talk to Dan about what I would have said if I was there.
Emma nodded.
Thanks. You and Tara together are everything Piper will need.
So, Godfrey said, tilting his head to the screen.
I don't really want to get too deep on everything you guys have been doing right now, Emma said. In fact, I don't want to get too deep on it at all. Just the highlights, because I'm going to try to stick to playing down Dortolu Tepe and going after Jan's irresponsible reporting. Dan being Dan, I think he wants to take this chance to come clean on a lot of things. A lot of things. What the architects did on New Kerguelen, what he found on Sanctuary, all of it. I'll easily talk him out of the last part, since bringing up Sanctuary and the Time Gate could make it harder for us to get Billy back from the other side if anyone tries to get in the way. Obviously, he's not going to mention anything about Piper, which is the one truth we do not tell under any circumstances, but I know I don't have to tell you that.
Of course not, Godfrey said. But did you actually sleep, like you were badgering me to, Emma?
He went on with a slight grin.
Or were you up all night, mulling over all that?
Brains are like stomachs, she retorted. They digest things while we sleep. You should try it sometime.
Godfrey chuckled.
Well, in any case, I'm with you on dividing our topics of specific focus on the show. That's the benefit of there being three of us. As for Dan, perhaps wishing to undertake another episode of Full Disclosure, like the stunt he pulled at the drive-in out of desperation when you were in hospital and Il Diavolo was hurtling towards us, it might not be the worst idea. When you keep a truth to yourself for too long, it becomes a cover-up and a lie. We could be approaching that too long point, and if we don't take this chance, people will look back whenever the full truth of everything does come out and ask why we didn't openly share it.
I think I'll go and get Piper before she wakes up, Emma decided, realizing how silent the house was between their words and how relatively early it remained. Dan and Tara need that sleep. They could both sleep for days at the best of times, but lately hasn't exactly been the best of times. I think I'll issue a bare-bones video statement just to confirm that we'll be there, without saying exactly who we is going to be, and reiterating there was a problem on New Kerguelen the messengers needed you to deal with. again without saying what it was or whether it's been solved. This isn't an interview, so it's not like anyone can push for answers, but the world will get the real answers tonight. Dan and Tara don't need to be awake for this, though, and I really think we should let them get as much rest as they can.
Good call, Godfrey said. Dan in particular has a big night ahead, given who and what he's going up against.
The trio present in Phil Norris's farmhouse kitchen knew these words to be self-evidently true, but they had no idea just how true they would turn out to be. Dan McCarthy, asleep in the basement under their feet, was equally and utterly oblivious as to what lay in wait. The biggest night of his life or any other, with a high-stakes TV show in New York, not even being the half of it.